Well, as always on a Tuesday, we're joined by the editor of Astronomy Ireland, David Moore. David, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
David, let's go to, there's some breaking news about an asteroid. Tell us more.
Yes, we've spoken before about this asteroid discovered at the end of last year, 2024 YR4. I just called it YR4 for short. And it's perhaps up to 100 meters across. We have that size. We just don't know yet. And the telescopes around the world have been watching it to try and pin down its exact trajectory through space. And it initially was announced as having a 1.3% chance of passing by us. Actually, it was close as Christmas Day last year. And in 4 years' time, coming back, not too close. But in 8 years' time, possibly hitting the Earth. And we expected, as we refined the orbit by measuring it more and more accurately for longer and longer, that we'd be able to say it would miss us. In fact, the probability just doubled last night to 2.6%. Now, that's unusual, but not to alarm people too much. It still does mean there's about a 97% chance, I'll repeat that, 97% chance that it won't hit us. But it's the highest risk asteroid we've ever found.
Okay. Okay, and the obviously we don't want to alarm anyone, but the damage that something like that could do if the 2.something% was to become a reality.
Yeah, to show you how important it is, the James Webb Space Telescope, a $10 billion telescope, that's got a lot of important research to do. They've given emergency time on this now next month and again in May to try and characterize this asteroid to find out how big it really is. Because it's only a tiny blip on even big telescope photographs, and also to tie down its orbit, because once May passes, then no telescope on Earth or in space will be big enough to actually see this object, because we only saw it because it came close to the Earth, and it goes off out into the depths of space and comes back every 4 years. So we won't know exactly where its orbit is again until 2028, and then the next four-year pass on the 22nd of December, 2032, that could miss us by a million kilometers, or it could hit the Earth, and we just don't know. So it's rather alarming knowing that we've got this beast that's much bigger than any asteroid we've ever seen hit the Earth in our recorded history. So, you know, it's keeping the astronomers on their toes. I mean, to allocate time on James Webb Space Telescope shows this is serious.
Okay, and whatever it does, it at the moment it has an 8 year cycle that it's going to do something in about 8 years time. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, it comes close to the Earth, goes around the Sun every 4 years, and its orbit intersects the Earth's orbit. So you have to be unlucky enough to have the asteroid where the orbit of the two intersect and the Earth in the same spot at the same time, and we're unlucky enough have that happen in 2032. So they'll be close, but you know, they were less than a million kilometers across, just under a million kilometers on Christmas Day last year, and it could be that far again in 2032. It's very hard to project these objects. They're moving so fast, having just viewed them for a few weeks, and then you want to know exactly where they're going to be in 8 years' time, you know, to within the diameter of the Earth, which is very hard to do with objects this far apart. You know, they're so small, the asteroid is so small. And I don't think any telescope in Ireland could even have photographed it when it whizzed past the Earth there in December.
But the what time gap is between the percentage doubling? So when was the first call on it?
Yeah, it was just a few weeks ago. Because what happens is there are telescopes now monitoring the skies for things like this. We think they found all the giant asteroids 1,000 meters across or bigger. The dinosaurs were killed by one 10,000 meters across or bigger than that. So they don't hit very often every tens of millions of years. 1 kilometer objects, though, they could cause significant global disaster. But we're pretty sure we've mapped all of those. Now we're working our way down in smaller sizes. The idea is to get down to 150 meters. And a giant telescope called Vera Rubin Observatory comes online probably in the next year or so. But give it a while to get up to speed. And it's got the biggest camera ever built, over 3,000 megapixels, and it'll photograph the whole sky with a giant telescope every three nights, and that'd be a game changer. That should take us down to objects the size of this object, or even the one that hit Chelyabinsk, the Russian town or city, in 2013, which injured 1,500 people from the shockwave off the explosion, but didn't kill anybody, fortunately. So we're living in sort of dodgy territory where we've just realized the threat in the last few decades. We've built some telescopes to search for them, and now we're just hoping we don't find one that we can't do anything about. And so it took a few weeks to gather the positions on this object to figure out where it was going to go. And after about a month, it was announced there's a 1.3% chance, the biggest probability yet, that this thing could hit us in 2032. That's as far as we know.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that as time.
Yeah, and after May, when the James Webb Telescope views it, there's no other telescope, even it can't see it anymore. So we're just blind and living on tenterhooks till 2028 when it comes back. It'll just be within reach of giant telescopes then, and that will enable us to tie down its orbit and give an accurate prediction. But we're going to spend the next 4 years wondering, do we have anything to worry about in 2028?
Okay, okay. That's a long time to be worrying, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, we could find other objects like this in the meantime as well, with even higher probability of hitting us. The telescopes that map this asteroid, the ones I found were called Atlas, another one called Pan-STARRS, and they found smaller objects, usually only with a few hours' notice, that did then hit the Earth. So we're talking about the size of a car, size of a van. They can hit the Earth, okay? They burn up high in the atmosphere. Lovely fireball, but no damage caused down on the Earth. But we need things like the Vera Rubin Observatory to protect us from big objects the size of a house that can cause a certain amount of damage, especially if they're near populated areas.
Now, David, on another slightly negative, or is a negative note as well, on December the 24th, AES Andes, a subsidiary of the US power company AES Corporation, submitted a project for a massive industrial complex for environmental impact assessment. Now, all this is not good, sure it's not.
No, because it's just 10 kilometres from the best observatory in the world, arguably. Ireland has a share in the European Southern Observatory. A bunch of European countries got together. Chile, with its territory covering the Andes and the Atacama Desert very high up, it turns out to be an ideal place to site giant telescopes. You don't want to put them in Ireland. It's cloudy most of the time here. Not that many great sites in mainland Europe. Some good sites actually on the Canary Islands where there are big telescopes. But the ones in Chile are even better. And there's four giant 8-meter-wide telescopes, and they're building a 39-meter-wide telescope, the extremely large telescope. There's been nothing, this is a game changer, there's been nothing like this. During the 20th century, we creeped up in telescope size by a meter every decade or so, and topped out around 10 meters at the start of this century. And now they're going to jump from 10 meters to 39. That's not just a factor of four wider. It's 16 times the power. It's got the light gathering power. On top of that, it's got special optics that can stop the shimmering effect of the Earth's atmosphere. And I've seen simulations from telescopes like this compared to the Hubble Space Telescope. And it makes the Hubble Space Telescope look like a toy telescope, even though it's one of the best eyes we have on the universe. We don't want that jeopardized. I don't know, 3,000 hectare a complex is being built, the light pollution from it, the dust thrown up during its construction, and building it, you know, in a huge area of the Andes Mountains, so close to the world's biggest telescope, just seems crazy. And there's an online petition. If people go to our social media, so go to astronomy.ie, or the Facebook, Twitter, I said down the bottom, you'll see a petition you can sign to hopefully convince them. It's only an environmental impact study at the moment. The environment is, we want to keep studying space, and Ireland and Europe has invested over €1 billion in this one telescope and countless billions in all the other telescopes up there. So an absolute tragedy if this were to happen.
Now, when is this all supposed to take place, David?
It's happening now.
It's okay.
They applied to the environmental impact, so people have obviously planned out that this will be a good site. The commercial reasons, I'm not sure, but now the next step, you go for the environmental impact, and if it turns out that you get away with that, then you start building, and astronomers will be pulling their hair out. And this would be a real tragedy. It's not just all the big telescopes there. It's the fact that this was a real game changer, the 39-meter telescope. we can only dream what it could see at the edge of the universe.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a critical risk to the most pristine night skies, isn't it? That's really what the issue is.
Yeah, and of all the places in the world where you could sight it, 10 kilometers away from it, you know, there must be other sites, 100 or even 1,000 kilometers, knowing the size of the Andes, where one could sight this as well. Hopefully, there are alternatives, and it's hard to believe the engineers who would have known exactly what kind of infrastructure there was around there, like the observatory, would go ahead with the plans to do this if there was another site. So we have to wait and see. It's down to the Chilean authorities at the end of the day. Chile has a stake in those telescopes. They basically provided the land and the mountain. I'll give you some idea of this ELT telescope, 39 meters across. There's actually a webcam that you can look at where you can see the construction site. And the first thing they do is they cut the top off a mountain. If the mirror is 39 meters across, the tube is several times longer, the building several times bigger than that. It's a monster construction thing just in its own right. But, of course, once it's finished and everything goes quiet, there's the dark skies, and they start sending back incredible results. Right now it's a building site, but it should come online, you know, in the next few years. And to have it jeopardized by a commercial concern, only, I think, it's 11 kilometers away. It's so big, actually, it varies the number of kilometers distance that it is. But roughly 10 kilometers is the distance. Depends which telescope you're talking about as well, because they're scattered over various peaks. So it just beggars belief that you could build something in an area this close to the world's best observatory.
And Ireland is not just an observer in part of this. I mean, it's part of it's a member of the European Southern Observatory, having pushed 20 million into it.
Exactly. Irish researchers fought long and hard to get the funding because, as we've said before, most of our economy is based on science. All the high-tech companies we have here are providing vast amounts of revenue to keep the country going, both in the incomes of about 250,000 people who work for them and the corporation tax we recently found out about. So we've got this windfall, and inspiring the next generation of kids to take up a career in science is extremely important to the future of Ireland. The companies are crying out for those graduates. So we joined ESO. We can keep our graduates in Ireland because they now have access to the biggest telescope in the world. Interesting to note, the Americans are trying to build one that's not as big. Theirs is 30. Ours is nearly 40 meters across, and they're having terrible problems sighting it on Hawaii. They haven't got a home for it yet, so we're going to be way ahead of them. So come to Ireland was going to be the message. We don't want that telescope jeopardized. It was roughly a 20 million joining fee, I believe, in the last decade. And then I think it's 1 or 2 million a year that we put into it to keep things, all the projects going. So, and then Irish astronomers get to use these telescopes, and you get to use them on their merit. And we've been very good at doing that. We've done it with the Hubble Space Telescope, which is also a NASA and European project, as is the James Webb Space Telescope. So we have our fingers in every pie, and this will affect Irish taxpayers directly if it's ruined.
Now, David, just on the issue of planetariums, okay, we have a number of small planetariums in the country, but there's one quite large one in the north of Ireland, and you think that Ireland, with its interest in science and its research and all that, there should actually be a planetarium of a significant size in the Republic here as well.
There should indeed, and astronomy is running over 3 decades now, and we've been campaigning since the beginning to anybody that would listen about getting a planetarium for Ireland. And we've had a number of projects, commercial ones to begin with, that were interested in sighting planetaria. We gave them all the advice we could. We know quite a bit about it, having visited lots of them around the world and talked to all the manufacturers. But the big one we were looking at was to be the Children's Science Museum that ran into all kinds of problems. It was well-funded during the Celtic Tiger. Unfortunately, it was majorly sponsored by the banks. We all know what happened, the banking sector, at the end of the Celtic Tiger. So that put the project, it's been going through disputes at the moment. They still hope to build it somewhere in Dublin City. There was another private project running in the Wicklow Mountains near Bray. And that funding did get some funding allocated to it, but it hit a land use problem, shall we say. So we're not sure that one's going to come on. And for Ireland not to have a suite of planetaria, they have them in the UK, they have them all in many other countries around the world as well. And, you know, we don't currently have a sort of national scale planetarium on Irish soil, be it in the capital or one of the other cities. In my opinion, all the cities should have a planetarium, because we can inspire the youth of today to a career in science tomorrow.
Absolutely. And maybe the new Minister for Higher Education, James Lawless, might be able to, might be worth running that by, and that can happen. I'm sure you'll be working on that as well, David. And just to say, in relation to that online petition, there's up to 1,500 people have signed up to that already. And as David said, you can get that on the Astronomy Ireland website. You can click on the link and put your name to it, that you don't want to see, you want those skies to be clear for the people who bring us all the news of everything that's going on in the space, especially with, you know, 11 kilometers from the telescopes there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland, thank you indeed for joining me on the program, and we'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure.
Thank you indeed. That brings me to the end of this evening's